Away from her. What was the name of that woman? Anybody remember? Not a specific name. Strange woman. Don't say the name of some woman you know out loud. And so the strange woman, she had a bunch of characteristics, bunch of things about her. Can anybody remember anything about her? Any characteristic? Anything? What's that?
Flirty.
She's flirty. Yes, Mark?
I was going to say
sweet words. Sweet words. Yep. Got to be careful of her tongue. Yes.
She's loud.
Yep. Anything outside her house? Yep, she was seeking immorality and she was just wandering, and a lot of things about her. And there's a lot said about her. And those women are out there, those type of women, and there's those type of men, and they are looking for wrong. And but she is talked about very specifically in three different passages in Proverbs, warning a young man about her. And the truth is, can I say this? Young people, the one area they think they know what they're doing most in is usually the relationships. And that's usually the area they know the least about. And a young person to wander into relationships without parental advice, or if you don't have parents that have sense, then wise older people, a pastor, a grandma, anybody. But bad people, unfortunately, know how to manipulate, and they know how to say what you want. They know what you want to hear, and they'll say it. And so you got to be careful about that. But we're talking about a different woman this time. We're talking about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31. Virtuous woman. Proverbs 31. Start at verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we can understand it and seek it and get the wisdom we need for life. Lord, thank you that, thank you didn't leave us without wisdom of what a young man and what a young woman or what an older woman or an older man, what we're supposed to be like. Lord, even if we didn't grow up being taught right or having a good example, we've got the Word of God. And Lord, this chapter is talking about a virtuous woman and how valuable she is and how wonderful she is. And Lord, I just know that every single lady here, for the most part, was brought up with secular thinking on womanhood and with wrong thinking about what a woman's supposed to be. It's pounded into us, Father. It's pounded and pounded and pounded. Here's what a good woman, here's what a successful woman, here's what a great woman is. And Lord, we don't even know as many times our thinking is wrong. And we're afraid to. When you see the truth, sometimes it looks so foreign to us that we think it just can't be that way. But help us to see your way tonight. I pray your spirit would speak to us. And I pray that I would have your wisdom, your boldness, the power to speak, the liberty to say what I should say. And I pray that wrong thinking would be fixed. I pray our minds would be renewed. And I pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide in the scripture tonight. Please speak to us in a great way in Jesus' name. Amen. This woman that we said the last week, that the strange woman, you're supposed to avoid at all costs. Don't even go near her place. Don't try to resist her. Don't try to outsmart her. Just don't even pass by there. But the virtuous woman's the opposite. We're supposed to find her at all costs. And as a man, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Whether you're a young lady or a lady who's not young but like to learn how to be the kind of woman God wants you to be, trying to find a virtuous woman is not easy. It is difficult to find a virtuous woman. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? And this is written in Jerusalem, in the time of Solomon, when the nation was very godly, let alone in America in 2013, trying to find a virtuous woman. Where the women who are most admired are absolutely diametrically opposed to what God says a virtuous woman is. If you look at the list of most admired women, it is not a good list of good women who are good wives and moms. Mother Teresa was up there, and she died. That was the last one that would have one husband in her life, and she didn't have one because it's a mess of women who are out of line, women who are not godly, women who are boisterous, women who are obnoxious, women who are not spiritual, women who are cantankerous, and a whole bunch of things. But nowadays, if you notice, in the 80s and 90s, the woman that everybody wanted to be, that Hollywood will say promoted, was a was a great career woman. And this incredible career woman who can go make a bunch of money and compete with the men and neglect her kids. And that was the big thing. The woman now, literally, it's changed. The woman now is somebody who could beat up a bunch of men and karate kick them. It's changed. And now, a woman, if the woman they put and advertise and do that, look at T-Mobile's advertisement right now. It's some woman who's built like a man, who's not feminine, who's muscular, because she's tough, she can beat up a guy. It's we've just changed all that stuff. And I want to say, that's not the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. But there's a lot of subliminal things. You get programmed. When you're watching a TV show and every dad is a dork, you don't realize that eventually you just think men are just dorks. They just need to be laughed at. It gets programmed over time. And when a woman is all of a sudden, these are the glamorous women, these are the Hollywood women, these are the movie stars, these are the people who are wonderful and incredible. Eventually you say, yeah, that's the way women's supposed to be. And when it doesn't look like them, then all of a sudden your mind says something's wrong because you're programmed. And history is full of programming minds. Just say the same thing over and over and over and over. But a virtuous woman is very hard to find because she's got to swim upstream in a society that doesn't like virtue in a woman. So it's very hard to find. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Rubies are pretty valuable. Who can even find that woman? And I want to say this. this is the frustrating thing about that we have gotten to the point, I think, and I found this. We've gotten so weak now that males are afraid to hang around men because a real man, because a real man is not what they are, and they don't want to feel bad, and they don't think they can achieve that, so they just stay away from real men and stay around their peers, which are big boys, and because they're afraid of that. And I find when a woman is truly virtuous, actually we've gotten to the point today where a lot of women don't want to be around a virtuous woman because they feel bad about themselves. And if you're that weak where you're afraid of seeing listen, if I was, all of a sudden somebody said, you know, you are very sick, you should be able to run a 4-minute mile and that's normal, and you should be able to go and jump a 36-inch vertical and do this and this and this, and I was anemic and could hardly get out of bed, I wouldn't be afraid to see a person who's well to see what I should be like, so I can start going toward that. But if you want to say, nope, I'm sick and I'm around sick people, so I feel like I'm okay, and I'm okay because everybody around me is laying in bed and they can't get out of bed either, so I'm fine. Then you can do that, but you'll never attain. You'll never be great. And I think that I think when you're not married, I think you should seek to find greatness in a spouse. I think you should seek to find a virtuous woman. I think that you should seek to find not, that's the first one who comes, said hi to me and smiled at me. I think you should find greatness. I think you should find greatness in a man, greatness in a woman. And I think as a woman, you should try to find a great woman to be around. And men should find a great man to be around, not someone they can feel good around. Weak people do that. Weak people find their peers and hang around their peers because they feel okay. And they lower themselves into a lower echelon of people, and they will feel at home there. I've always tried to find people greater than me, and it's not very hard to find that I can find that I can gain from and try to do that. Trying to find that woman is very hard, but if you can find her, her price is far above rubies. And not only is she supposed to, not like a strange one to be avoided, but she's supposed to be found at all costs. So who is this virtuous woman? The Bible gives a great list of characteristics for her, and we're going to give you just some ideas about her. Number one, she's virtuous. Who can find a virtuous woman? Verse 10. It says in back in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. let me see here if I got the right verse. I got the wrong verse written down. Yep, I got the wrong verse written down. Who can find a virtuous woman? And let me take it back to Proverbs 31. And I can find my notes and find where I got it written down right. And is it 4? We're in chapter 10, 12? There we go. Usually it's a very similar number if I have it written down wrong. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, and she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bone. Thank you, whoever found that. Whenever I can't find it, it's usually the right number nearby. It's missing one digit. All right, and so who can find a virtuous woman? And a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She's virtuous. The word virtuous is the strangest word in the world you would think the Bible would talk about for a godly woman. It's a strange word. It's the same word. There's two words for virtuous in the Bible. It's the most common word in the Bible, virtue, its use. And the word means strength. That's the word means. And it means a force is the actual definition of it. A force or strength or like a force of a big army coming towards you. It is a force. A virtuous woman is a force, as the Bible says. Now, why in the world the Bible say that? Because the Bible says a woman's to be of meek and quiet spirit. However, you're going to find in Proverbs 31 that though she knows her position, and though she's not trying to usurp her husband, she's a woman who gets things done. She's a woman who's competent. She's a woman who knows what's right to do and is going to do what's right and stay on track. And I don't think you have to be domineering and mean and aggressive and nasty and stomp on people to be an army who's going to get what's right done. And I don't want to teach women to be domineering because they're not supposed to be. However, I want you to understand that a virtuous woman is competent and gets the right things done. They're not weak. You'll never find the Bible saying a woman is supposed to be weak. I think the Bible teaches contrary. And I think strength in the form of meekness, which is power under control, is maybe the greatest strength. When you're under control and you don't have to domineer to be strong and under control. A policeman who can defuse a situation, though he could pull his gun out, yet he's under control enough to defuse it and calm it down. That is strength under control. That is force. And by the way, that takes a lot of force to do that. A lot of force to do that. And so she is a force. You're going to find in this chapter that she has the strength to go do what needs to get done. And oh, those of you who are competent will know what I'm talking about. The most frustrating thing in the world is the incompetence of people to get things done when you give somebody something to do. Oh, listen, I can give somebody a job here and I can say, I need you to go and go get me a picture from the tallest building in Seattle. I can say to somebody, go on top of the tallest building in Seattle and get a picture from the roof. And did you know 5 people in this room could do that? And the rest would say, can't do it, door's locked. That'd be the end of it. And the rest of us, we would find a way. We might scale the building. We might beat up a security guard. We might break a lock. We might do all kinds of things. But there is a way where people are not cowering. Listen, I found in life, I've just found that people, when they are weak and when they don't know virtue, which is determined strength under control, when they don't know the force of what you can do when you're determined to do it, when they don't know that, I find you can tell them where their water hole is. But there is a hill between them and the water hole. They'll tell you there's a hill between them and the water hole. And what you need to do with that person is you need to go get a bucket and you need to walk the water hole and fill a bucket and walk it back to them. Because they are so excuse filled. If you want to fail, I promise you, you can fail. If you want a reason to fail, I promise you can find a reason to fail. And if you want to get it done, you can find a way to get it done. And we see this now. We've now raised a generation because we let our boys said, son, go clean your room. It's hard. I can't find the vacuum. And you said, okay, I'll go clean it for you. Oh, you just taught your kid a bad lesson. And then he's going to be 31 and you say, get a job. And you say, it's hard. There's no jobs out there. Or you're going to have your little daughter and say, honey, go clean the kitchen. And because she can't, she's going to make an excuse. She's going to say, oh, you poor thing. Okay, I'll do it for you. And he didn't make her find a way to do it. The broom's broken. Grab the broom end. The broom end doesn't work. The broom bristles have fallen out. Use your lip. But you're going to clean the floor. You're going to learn strength. Life's tough. Figure it out. Use your doll's head. Because why? Because someday it's going to be real tough for her. And she's going to say, my husband is not helping me at all. What do I do? I just want to leave. I'm just leaving. It's too hard. Because you never taught her to tough through things. The virtuous woman finds a way. Virtuous people find a way. Virtuous people are a force. That's what virtue means. It's a force. I'm going to push through this thing. This needs to get done. It'll get done. My husband's not saved. My husband's going to get saved. If I had to beg God, fast, get on my face for God, pray, cry, be the best Christian who's ever lived, doesn't matter. My husband's going to get saved. Yet we live in a cowering generation of, it's tough out there. Good morning. You just realize that? It's tough out there. If you're going to be stopped, you will be stopped. Whether or not you think you can, you're right. And so you got to find, and she's a virtuous woman. She's a woman who gets things done. She's a woman who her husband says, I need you to do this, this, and this, and he comes back and this are done. Okay. Number two, she is virtuous. Number two, she spoils her husband. She spoils her husband. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely, by the way, can I tell you just a little secret about parenting? Strong people have a tendency to produce weak children. For one simple reason, when their child whines, they cannot take it and they just do it themselves. That's why. They make weak children. You'll find many a strong man who has many incompetent son and many a competent woman who has a daughter who cannot take care of herself. Because whenever the kid had problems, they always just took care of it because they're so competent. They just find a way instead of letting them struggle and learn virtue. Very important to learn virtue. And as pastor, one of the things I've had to learn is I can get anything done. And I somebody needs to get something done and needs to fix this thing in their life and do this and this. And I say, do this and this and this. And they won't do it. And then I'll just go do it for them. I've learned that's bad for people. I've learned, you know what? You need to be hungry. If you won't come to church and pick up food, I'm not going to take it to your house if you live two blocks away. If you won't make that effort, I spent way too much time helping people with no virtue. If they won't try, I decided neither will I. I got plenty of other things to try. And because virtue is important in life, and we got to have that. And she has that. Number two, and you'll see this as a redo. She's a neat lady. Number two, she spoils her husband. Verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. By the way, lest anybody's a Pharisee, I'm not really saying beat up the security guard and take the lock. And you steal it from him. And verse number two, she spoils her husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That's interesting. Spoil, the word just means a pile of riches, bounty. It's interesting. He doesn't need a bunch of things. Why? He has her. Can I say this? Happy wife, happy life. And there's two reasons he doesn't need spoil. He doesn't need great wealth. One, she's content without it. And by the way, women are more content than men when not taught to be discontent. If they're taught to be covetous, I find you can put a woman in the most uncomfortable, bad circumstance, and if her thinking's right, she won't gripe in a mud hut. And nothing and no plumbing if her mind's right. He will feel bad because he didn't provide for her. But the right kind of woman can live anywhere and have a smile. the wrong kind of woman cannot be happy in a palace. And she thinks if I just had a better place, a better circumstance, a better car, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. If you're not content with having food and raiment, you're not going to be content. You're always going to want something else. And so number one, she is content. But number two, he has her and he feels content. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, you come home to a happy home. You know what? Life's good. And you come home to a miserable home, life's bad. And it doesn't matter if you're in 400 square feet or 14,000, those two things are true. And when you have a happy home, it's just a joy to be around your spouse. And the right kind of woman, and this is a real key to this, she spoils her husband. He has no need of spoil because she does not make him feel like he is not doing enough and taking enough care of her and being giving her enough. And he doesn't feel like a loser because she says, honey, thank you so much for going to work today and think you have a roof over her head and a heater that works. And she's content with whatever she has. And she doesn't, if I just had this, you would do this, if you would have done this. He needs spoil to try to keep her happy. The right kind of man will try to give her as much as he can, but the right kind of woman will make him feel like he's done fine. And he has no need of spoil. She's kind to him and sweet to him and takes good care of him, and she's virtuous, and he has no need of spoil. Many is a man who's bought and tried and worked and done everything and tried to do his best for a woman, and it doesn't matter, she still gripes. Oh, man. That is so sad for the man. And then she hates him because he works so many hours to try to take care of her. And by the way, to not have to be around her. Overtime sounds a lot. Time and a half is a lot better than frying pan and griping. And so he does that. Number two, she spoils her husband. She does him good. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Number three, she is trustworthy. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is trustworthy. She can be given the credit card at the mall. And she can go and she can be left with the kids and him not find out that she got distracted watching TV all day. And just shoved the kids in the front of the TV and left them alone. Or left them in the crib. By the way, it's getting kind of scary for babies out there with the women distracted now. You would think nurturing would be automatic. It always has been. It is now getting a point. Talk to somebody who works in an emergency room. You're going to find out parents, moms are getting to the point where they're just so distracted with the internet and junk and stuff like that, that the husband can't even trust his babies with the wife. With the mom. But he trusts her. He knows she's going to do the right thing. He doesn't need to worry about her freaking out or her going and blowing the money and or her lying to him or her being lazy. He doesn't have to check up on her all day. Boy, I'm so glad I have a wife who's virtuous. I'm glad I can be gone on a busy day. I just disappear in the morning and I know that my home is being run competently. I know that she's doing the right thing. I know if she goes buys some of the store, I know she needs to buy it. It must be a need. And I mean, I'm Mr. Cheapo. But you know, my wife needs it. It must be a real need. And she doesn't, I can trust her. And it's very important that she's trustworthy. Next, she is diligent. And this is the biggest characteristic. We're going to give you a bunch of points underneath. She is diligent. She is not lazy. She is diligent. we see in verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. All these things. Let me give you a few things underneath. She's diligent. Number one, she finds bargains. She finds bargains. Verse 14, she is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. And with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Verse 18, She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's looking at her merchandise, and she's careful. She's going a lot of places to find it. Every woman, most people don't think they blow their money. That's just true. Most people think they're good at the money. I don't quite understand that. There's a few people I meet who say, no, I'm terrible with money, but most people think they're good at the money. A virtuous woman saves her husband money. And I want to say this. That sounds mean, but when you live within a semi-tight budget, a lot of blowing your money is laziness. It's what it is. You don't want to take time to drive to a store 15 minutes farther. You don't want to go dig up the coupons. You don't want to go and compare the prices. You don't want to go and make anything. Do you know how much cheaper it is to make stuff than to buy prepackaged, pre-prepared stuff? And do you know how much better it is for you? But I don't want to cook. And you're paying $40 a week extra for groceries. And eating stuff that your body doesn't like processing, by the way. Because you are lazy, men and women. I think that she goes and searches for bargains. I think that you don't understand. When you tell your husband, you know what? I save $4 on this. It'll add up and he'll be happy. If he's tired and he's like, what? We say, well, you know, I mean, he might not know that. But you know what? Go out and save money and be a blessing. Be diligent about it. Find a good deal. Go on there. And do you know you can get emailed coupons for everything you buy just about? And it takes a little work. And do that, and those of you who know how to save money, you know what it's like. By the way, with 44% of people, it's 50 million Americans now are on food stamps. Food stamps give you so much money that most people don't look for bargains anymore, and so there's a little problem there because they don't have to. When people are shopping for bargains, it'll lower the price of things because they got to compete. But we've got to be diligent to save money. First, she finds bargains. Number two, she is tireless. And by the way, I want to say the person who works for the money, they're by nature the person who wants to save the money. The person who doesn't work for the money, they don't look at it in hours. If I made $16 an hour and I work 4 hours, how many hours do I have to work for this thing? But pretend like it's your money. Don't just say, I didn't earn this. And we don't say that, but it doesn't seem as precious when you didn't earn it. And so make sure you get you understand the value of that. Next, she is tireless. Verse 15. She is tireless. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's tireless. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 27, she looketh the wealth of the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Let me just tell you something about diligence and idleness and sleep. I want to say this. When you have a purpose, you need less sleep. When you have a purpose and you're diligent, you will want to get up. When you are busy and have something important to do, life is busy and you find more energy and you need less sleep. When you have less to do, you'll find you need more sleep. Your amount will increase. You'll sleep less deeply. And getting up is harder and harder and you don't have as much energy. So find purpose. She finds the energy. And you know what? You're much happier if you have a need for energy. You're much happier. And you don't. And so she is up at night. She gets up early to prepare food for her family. Okay, we have because women are so tired because they're all working now, and because some are lazy, it's Cheerios or nothing, buddy, and it's cereal every day, all day, every day, and she's gonna get up at the crack of noon, and so because we do that, and we gotta be careful about, you know, it's okay to stay up late and work hard. Sometimes you need to get up before the sun rises. And if you say you don't have enough time in the day, rise up earlier. And she does that. And she is tireless. Next, she works physically hard. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. One of the things that amazed me is when we had babies and I started holding those babies, I realized how strong women are sometimes. After a while, I finally figured, after seven kids, I figured out, you know why? They put the baby on their hip. I don't got a hip to put them on. I thought we'd rest them on my belly. But we go, and a woman is strong. My wife was telling me about it in Bible college. There's this little dainty lady, Mrs. Callen. She's been to our church a couple times, Freddie Callen. And they had a cooking class at Bible college. And she was kneading bread. Not kneading bread like you knead bread. Kneading bread like how you make it. Talking to people in the 2000s, everything's different. And so I need bread. Where can I get bread? But she was kneading bread, and she says, you know, her arms are bulging with muscles. That's hard work. Have you ever kneaded bread? That's hard work right there. And by the way, do you know how hard life was for a woman before dishwashers and washers and dryers and macaroni and cheese in a box? I mean, try doing laundry by hand with a washing board. Oh, man, wringing it out. That's hard work. I still think that a woman is physically strong, even if she has those minor conveniences, because there's a lot to do still and taking care of kids, and then there's other things she should do. And I do think because of minor conveniences, which praise the Lord for minor conveniences, I'm not against them at all. But I do not think that should make you idle. I think it means you have time and energy to put into something else. I don't think, she eateth not the bread of idleness, the Bible says. And so she works physically hard, and she does that. Next, she's diligent in preparation. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her children are clothed with scarlet, with the best stuff. Before the snow... Clothes, you didn't used to be able to go to Walmart. You made clothes. And you know what takes a while to make clothes? And when the snow comes, she doesn't start knitting. Okay? And I'm making a hat. Knit one, purl two. And whatever they do when they do that. And make a little fuzzy on top. What are those fuzzies for, by the way? Does anybody know? And so, for grabbing them off your brother. She doesn't knit it then. She's already ready when the snow comes. She's already prepared for it. She's prepared for it. She's diligent to make things ready before they get there. Do you know one of the things, amazing things about my wife? Do you know before a baby comes, we are completely set up with everything in our house ready to just put in the oven? I mean, my wife starts working 2 or 3 months before the baby's born so that when the baby's born, she can focus on the baby. Preparation. And I think preparation is good in doing that. Next, how is she diligent in finding extra ways to make money for her home? Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. She buys land. Wow. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She goes out in gardens and plants that stuff. In the context here, I think with what it's saying there in that verse 16, I think she's actually planting a vineyard to make money, it looks like to me. verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So the merchant's going to sell it for her. You see, there's a bunch of business sense. She sells some of it. Some of it she takes to a merchant to sell for her. I want to say she is helping out financially. She's making money. And when I just said, I don't mind all these modern conveniences, I do not think you have a dishwasher and a washer and a dryer and all these nice conveniences that are wonderful and great. And by the way, you don't have to light up the wood stove. You know, when we had the power outages, our house gets a lot of power outages. We cook on our wood stove still. I don't know how they did that this summer, but they do that. I want to say this. Because of all these wonderful conveniences and refrigerators, and we don't have to use a well anymore, and all those things, That did not free up your time to surf the net and update Facebook 67 times a day. And it did not free up your time to play video games, or so you can call Betty Sue on the phone and gossip. Or so you can lay on the couch for 3 more hours, or so you can sleep 2 hours a day. That's not what those modern conveniences for a woman should be used for. Maybe now you can go and with that spare time make money on the side. I don't think you should go and punch in, especially if you have kids. But that's not what she's doing, because she is going and making these things with her hand. She is going and buying a field. She is going to plant a vineyard. These are things you can, because of the family, it is very hard to be gone for periods of time because babies get sick and because things get pile up. So you want a free schedule. Self-employment is very nice. And listen, folks, you got eBay. Amen. And she can go out and sell eBay stuff. She can go out and make something. She can go out and make clothes and sell them on eBay. Make her website. Our family has stuff to sell tonight. They made it with their hands. And by the way, it was family time to make candles. And I mean, we even made the wicks and everything. We did that. And I bought the wicks and they made the candles. But they go and they do that. And you know what? Wouldn't it be a blessing to say, honey? He says, honey, I hate to tell you this, but we're $300 short this month on rent. He says, honey, I got $600 saved up. Here it is. Boy, don't you think you'd be appreciated? I think that she's a help. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness, but she's got business sense. She's competent. She says, I'm going to go to, hey, that merchant sells it for me. I don't have time to sell all of it. I sell this stuff. They come to my house to buy it. And this stuff, I go give it to the merchant, let him sell it. She goes and buys that field and says, that's on sale. I'm going to buy that field. And then she goes and sells it or plants a vineyard on it or whatever. She's thinking. As her daughters get older, maybe she has more help and she has more time. She is finding sideways to make money for the home. Next, in making quality things, verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Verse 25, strength and honor in her clothing. She does a good job. She makes things well. I think there's a good pride in that. Her family is obviously well taken care of. You can see it in their appearance and their clothing. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That was the best scarlet was. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So this is the best of the best. She makes the best stuff. I want to say this. We might not make it, but a woman who takes care of the clothes in her house, she finds ways to buy it. And please, 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 do not buy clothing at full price. Do you know how expensive it is? And you can get really good stuff at thrift stores. Amen. And you can just wait till JCPenney has their annual sale. And get really nice clothes, say 60% off. If you're diligent enough to prepare ahead of time and not to do things in a whim and to plan and to shop and to go and get things, and because of lack of preparation, you don't get these deals. I think as a diligent, and her family is not dressed in rags because she's carefully prepared, and if she had to make it herself, she would, because she wants them to have the best. And the best may not be stuff that's super duper expensive, but they do their very best. And sometimes people are poor and their best may not be the nicest, but it's the best they can do. And it's not because it's not taken care of and not fixed or not, she's not looking. She might not have any money, but she's doing the best she can. It's not because she's lazy and he's had the same hole in his knee for 6 months in the pants. Sewing's not expensive. You know, there's these things called needles, and you put a little thread through there, and you do this repair stuff. And people used to do that stuff. And it's a lot cheaper than buying a new pair. Can't see the hole in the knee. That's right. He can't see the whole needle anymore. And so we go and we can do that stuff. We can save money by doing these things. Her family is obviously well taken care of. Next, she makes her family better. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That's interesting. Her husband is somebody. Why? Because she's built him. Because she's helped him financially. Because she's been a blessing. Because she's raised the kids right. People say, that guy's got it together. Half the time, that guy hardly has time to have anything together, but he's got a competent wife who's making him look good. You know, one of the most amazing churches I think of, and it's taught me so much when somebody told me this, is it's in Walkertown, North Carolina. Walkertown is about 3,000 people, from what I understand. It's outside of Winston-Salem. Where a lot of you get your products from, and so in the middle of Walkertown, and he has a church of almost 3,000 people in a city of, maybe it's smaller than, I think it's less than 2,000 people, and Bobby Robertson is a pastor, and the guy is country. He grew up 3 miles from this church, and I mean, he gets up and preach, and he just talks. How we all doing? He just talks, and the guy doesn't organize. And one time I was told by somebody in the church many years ago when his son used to work there. And I remember listening to Bobby Robertson say, he says, you know, our church is so amazing. He says, I just get to church and walk up there and preach. And boy, the music's good. And buses are all picking people up. And everybody's doing the usher thing. And it's all perfect and organized. It's just amazing how it all works. He has no idea that just a bunch of people are doing a million things, running a million miles per hour, because they know that's not his thing. They know he's just a guy who just visits people and talks to people and preaches the word, and he can't deal with those complications. But there's a bunch of people who just catch everything for him, and he looks really good because the people are helping him. And I think a good home is like that. Many times the husband's worn out and exhausted and fighting the battle out there. And he comes home and his house is organized and everybody gets in the car at the same time. And it, because he's got a competent wife who helps him. Where have you been? No. It's, what can I do to help? You know, he's probably tired. Let me go and give him a foot rub. Amen, men? Amen. It's good stuff, amen? Foot rubs are from heaven. Somewhere in here is verse 32, I think. But we see, it's not in there. And we see that she is virtuous to try to be a blessing. And he is blessed. And he is better. Her kids are better. Instead of them saying, why don't you do this, this, and this for me? She builds them. Next, she is compassionate. Verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty. She goes out and helps needy people. Next, her words build and encourage, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Her words build and encourage everybody and make them believe and make them feel like they can do it instead of telling them how incompetent. You always do this wrong. No, you'll make the man feel like he can't do anything right. He's a loser, and he'll become a failure when you do that, and he builds. Next, her family eventually realizes her value. Verse 28, her children arise up, that's when they're grown up, and call her blessed. Her husband also praiseth her. Many daughters are done virtuously. Why? Because that's the mom. But thou excellest them all. She raises good daughters because her daughters will be like her. Bible says, as a mother is, so is a daughter. And a woman's biggest waste of a breath is saying, don't do that like I do it. Wasting your breath. It will not happen. She will do it like you do it. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Many times when the kids are older, kids when they're young do not realize how much their mom does. But when they are older and have kids, and they say, Mom, my baby cries in the middle of the night. I hardly get any sleep. You couldn't believe how little I sleep. And she might believe it. And all of a sudden, she gets older and says, Mom, how'd you do that? Why? They later on, and if you can be patient enough, instead of saying, why don't they appreciate all that I do? They won't until they're older. That's why you do it for Jesus. That's why you just say, you know what? I know I did it. I know how hard I worked. Virtue doesn't need somebody to pat on the back every 30 seconds. A lot of people do, but that's because of insecurity. And last of all, she should be taken care of and rewarded. Chapter 31, verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. My wife gets an allowance every month. I don't know what to call it. Because it isn't wages. If the money I give her every month was a wage, the state is going to arrest me for not paying enough wages. But you know, she works hard. And especially if a woman's help earning it, I do think that a woman should get her own spending money. And the husband should make her spend it on herself. Because you know what she's going to do? Oh, I don't need it here. Just go buy. Or I'm going to go buy Johnny's shoes. He hasn't new shoes yet. Baby shoes are for grandparents to buy. Because that little shoe that big costs $35. That's what grandparents are for. You don't buy shoes that cost 4 cents. $35.
I have 6 grandkids. No.
That's what you're for. And that's what they're for. And we're preaching on grandparents next week and being generous. And buying the pants that cost $35 for 6 cents worth of material. You know, you go, I don't know what I'm talking about now. But you know, she should be giving her money so she doesn't go spending the kids. Let her have her own spending money. Let her have her own spending money. And then tell her what you want with it. But no, you go out and you say, you need this money. Why? She should be rewarded for the fruit of her labor. And if she helps earn, now if there's no money, by the way, if she doesn't get any spending money, you shouldn't get any spending money.
That's right. Amen.
And if you have no spending money, then that's fine. I understand that. And so she should be taken care of and rewarded. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Publicly say something. When somebody says, boy, your kids are beautiful, you don't say, yeah, she's such a cute girl. You say, my wife has done such a good job teaching her how to be beautiful and taking care of her and dressing her and dressing those boys. Those boys, you should have seen this morning, Boogie's hanging out here and their hair. But she made them look cute. Because she's virtuous and she's rare and she's special and she's done a great job. And so she should be praised and rewarded and given some time off. Amen. Honey, go take off. Go do some things. I'll take care of everything. Then she says, you know, I really want to go away, but if I come back, I know what it's going to look like in this house. But you make her go. And then you do the man cleanup 15 minutes before she's comes home. Everybody hurry, run! And you go clean it up real fast. And you hide it all in one closet, slam the door, and it's fine. But you go out and you do these things. Why? Because she is special, and she deserves it. That's a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. So we should let her enjoy the fruit of her labor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you. It teaches us about this virtuous woman. What a competent, wonderful, rare woman. Lord, she's competent, and yet building others. And not trying to build herself up. She's being frugal and yet investing wisely. Lord, it's these women, Lord, are wonderful and rare and treasures. Lord, if we have one, help us to praise them and thank them. If we don't have one, help us to find one. If we aren't one, help us to become one. If we are one, help us to stay that way even though we're not appreciated till later. Lord, I pray that we would become the type of women that you have in mind. And Lord, help us to be trusted and help the ladies of Open Door to be virtuous women and help the men to be godly men and help us to be the kind of people we ought to be. And we thank you for the word of God, what it teaches us in these things. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, eyes closed.